it's never a good idea to open a packet of little prawns that I can chew on when a dog is in the studio. When Meg's come in, I should have thought about that before I did it, really. But I'm joined in the studio by Carol Finney, who is a cognitive behavioural psychotherapist and EMDR practitioner. And she's here today to talk about therapy dogs and assistant dogs. And you've got Meg with you.
I have. Meg's what's called a pets and therapy dog.
Yep. And just get a little bit. You can move the microphone up a little bit. That's fine. There you go. So tell us all about Meg.
Right. Well, Meg's she's 14 and she's a collie.
Yep.
Harrison, she's a puppy. And once a month, I take her into a local home. And she's wearing a vest today, pets as therapy. And to do that, she had to do a short test. And I take her into, particularly into the home, to the unit with people with dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And the role there really is she helps people verbalise. They can touch and stroke her and feed her sometimes too much. I particularly like to take her into the rooms where the people are very frail and in bed.
Yeah.
And just the look on their faces, they can touch her, and it really is lovely. And she, I think she quite enjoys it. We only stay an hour to an hour and a half because it is very tiring for her.
It's people who have things, you know, where they have cats or dogs, are more relaxed and they can get de-stressed easier than people that don't have pets.
Yes, it's absolutely true. There's actually quite a bit of research, and certainly pets as therapy have used that. I know we'll talk a bit about assistance dogs, but certainly that's the same for them. It is a very well researched area.
So Meg's your dog.
Meg's my
dog. So she's always been really well behaved.
Well, yes, we have another dog and she's actually quite bossy to him.
Right.
But I think as a pets as therapy dog, she is very good.
So you can basically take her everywhere and she's just really well behaved.
Yes, we do. We take as a family, we do take our dogs everywhere, but Meg is particularly well behaved with people, and I think that's the nature of collies.
So do you take her into any other places, or is it basically people with dementia?
No, I'd basically just take her into that home, but certainly I haven't used her, but other therapies, she would pass a test to work with people, for example, with phobias.
Yeah.
And also I would like to have applied that we can take her into schools where she'll read with children who are reluctant readers, and they actually read to Meg. So really I'm just the assistant. It's actually Meg, it's the therapist.
Now, we're going to talk about phobias when you come in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes.
Because loads of it. And the strangest one, I think, was the one with buttons, was one of the strangest.
Absolutely,
things of phobias.
Yes, I've seen
but even thinking
buttons.
About that now, it's making my fingers itch. It wasn't me. Now, if we're talking about assistant dogs, tell us about the role and how they can help people. Because it isn't just about, you know, you go in, you've got people who think of guide dogs,
yes,
you know, for the blind, and also, but what are assistant dogs and how do they help?
Well, when we look at assistant dogs, they're actually as an organisation contact for assistance dogs. But you're right, Michelle, it's generally we think about guide dogs,
yeah,
hearing dogs, dogs, people who have got a disability, and also there's medical detection dogs, and they're actually dogs who stay with people who have maybe epilepsy,
yeah,
or diabetes, who might go into a coma. There's also dogs who just give dogs aid, and also canine partners. So there's several organisations that do have dogs and can use them for a variety of needs. So if you think your problem covers them, do contact them, see if a dog would help you, and it certainly will give value to your life and maybe help you to live more at home even longer.
Because when we had Mental Health Awareness Day and you popped in, the name of the gentleman actually escapes me, but he had a dog with him.
He did.
And he said the dog made a huge amount of difference to his mental well-being.
Absolutely. He had problems going out, and actually the dog actually helped him. He also talked about the fact that generally people tend to look at the dog and not the person.
Yeah.
Of course, the opposite is true with guide dogs. Generally, they don't want the person to look at the dog because the dog gets distracted. It's a working dog.
Mm.
But with therapy dog, we do want them to look at the dog.
Yeah.
And that can be very useful contact. And certainly when you've got a dog, people talk to you.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great thing.
If people are suffering with depression, there are organisations that they can contact.
So certainly, one in four people have some type of mental health problem.
Mm.
And many people with depression, it does go undetected.
Yeah.
If we think about it, the use of dogs with mentally ill. Certainly, if you contact pets as therapy, people can get into day hospitals, just even ordinary hospitals, people who have cancer, maybe who are just generally ill.
Yeah.
They can get in. That can be a real comfort.
And we were saying with the gentleman that was here, he was found eye contact difficult. So
he
the
did.
Dog broke the ice for people to reach down and touch, and then they spoke to him afterwards.
Indeed.
So he said he didn't feel, you know, people were avoiding, because he felt like people were avoiding him as well, and also eye contact was very difficult for him.
He did. And I think the dog, as I said, it does break the ice, and it's something that a lot of people can be quite concerned about dogs, but I think generally, if you're building up that trust, can be very useful for people.
And they're also using dogs I know, for detecting things like cancer.
Absolutely, yes. People, cancer, as I said, people with epilepsy, and I mean, I think it's a very interesting area, and I think we don't use animals enough in therapy. Mm. And also, of course, cats as well can get into homes. I don't know enough about that, but certainly that's my understanding as well. There's also some work, we mentioned about how well researched it is, that in Israel they actually use these dogs as part of a care package, particularly people with dementia, that if they wander out, the dog brings them back.
Yep.
They even can teach them to put on washing machines, and for some people to use, you won't believe this, but to use a bank card in a machine.
No.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that
amazing.
Just shows incredible that we really underrate, I think, the power of animals and how people can relate to them, even for some people who maybe find it's difficult to talk, to build relationships. Thinking about people possibly with autism, this is another step we can use, but it has done got to be done very carefully and done by people who are trained and understand dogs.
Yeah.
It's not just any animal, because that would get too ad hoc, and I think it could be dangerous.
With dementia, is it something that you, is it deterioration? Because I don't know too much about it. Is it just a deterioration as you get older, or is it a disease, or what is dementia?
Yeah, well, I suppose really in a way it is it's classed as a mental illness, and really what's happened is a deterioration of the brain. The brain cells, once they start getting destroyed, they don't remake again. And therefore people, it's actually a collection of symptoms for some people, depending on the type of dementia. Some people might get forgetful. Often a sign might be people start wandering. They might recognise sometimes events from long ago, but not at the present. And I think often the thing people find upsetting relatives is maybe the person doesn't recognise you. Sometimes the person gets uninhibited. It may be sexually, it may be swearing, aggressive, but it's part of the illness. And it is a difficult thing to manage, and particularly for carers who need a lot of help.
And is it one of the, does it make a difference how active you keep your brain as to whether you're going to get dementia, or is it got no, bears no relation?
That's an interesting thing. Certainly, again, looking at research, it does say that people keep active. Interesting enough, things about dancing, which we see a lot of at the moment, playing, using your brain, it could be crosswords, etc., does seem to keep yourself active. And things that can make it worse are excessive smoking and alcohol. So certainly just to keep busy your brain and keep your body active seem very important. People are living older. We are detecting dementia more and early because of the various tests we have, but I think for people, remember that people do get lonely. And I think with elderly people, if you know somebody who's elderly, do try and visit them, even just for a short while for company. But I think the thing with dementia is to keep active, and if you are recognise somebody who you maybe believe is getting forgetful, it doesn't do any harm just to suggest they go to their GP.
They want
company in casserole, and what it is once a week, or maybe less frequently, is you actually prepare a dish for an elderly person and take it to their home. Might be the only hot meal they get, and you may be the only person they see all week. And that's why I think I mentioned about touching with Meg. That's why I think it's so important.
And not if I brought a casserole around, I made it. To be honest, Carol, they'd probably throw it in my face. Like, get out of my house, that's awful.
I didn't say that my cooking was any good.
You'd be like, what have you brought this time? I don't want it. That's like my mum and me, but my mum is dreadful. You try and say, why don't you try some of this? I don't like it. I don't want it. You go, but try it. I don't like it. How can you not like it if you've not tried it? But she's determined she won't try anything.
Well, I think you mentioned your mum, but I think we all got that as we older. We stick to what we like, and change is very difficult. And I think we have to do it very gradually. And I think it's the same when I first took Meg into the home. It was a very mixed reaction. Some people don't like dogs, and I always ask to be very clear, and others absolutely love them. And Meg particularly loves them if they've been eating cake or biscuit. And I do have to watch that. The home do supply water and snacks for Meg, but she could be very well fed.
Yeah, she could be a 40-stone dog before the end of next year.
Could.
Sort of just dragging around on a set of wheels. Doesn't move or do very much.
No.
Oh, bless her, but she's very good. She's very well behaved.
Yes, yeah. She doesn't tend to bark much unless she wants something.
Yeah, well, hopefully not my prawns. I've left them on the table. Now, if people want to come and see you, because obviously you do your cognitive behavioural therapy as well for people who have depression, that can be to do with stress, with phobias, and you know, people can come in and talk to you about their problems,
of
and
course.
Get results and get we say cured, or
I think helped.
helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm based at the Brentwood Clinic at 31 Shenfield Road, and I have a good website, which is www.essextherapy.co.uk. And I would say, even if you feel it's not for you, do get help. Contact, it could be mine, you could contact me just to mention a problem, and I certainly can direct you to the right organisation. But don't suffer in silence. There is help out there. If I could just mention one thing, if you feel your organisation or your home or school would benefit from a pet, we will put the website on Michelle's information on the show. And thank you for having me today, and Meg.
You're welcome. And you look very glamorous. I have to say, you look...